Hello and welcome to Pull the Other One. David Frost here, and I have with me three people who are going to provide the landslide of laughter that we call Pull the Other One. And they are Frank Carson, Ken Dodd, and Dame Hilda Brackett. Our other contributors, of course, are the many people throughout the world who've been involved in bizarre goings-on, like the events in a Belfast court a few years ago. Traffic lights had just been installed at a hitherto uncontrolled road junction, and a number of motorists got caught unawares and done for careless driving. Two local magistrates were among them and were summoned to appear at their own court. To avoid embarrassment, their cases were put on first before too many people or the press were around. The day started with a senior magistrate in the dock and the junior on the bench. The offence being a technical one, the senior man got off with a caution. The magistrates then changed places and the junior went into the dock facing the same charge. He was dismayed to be fined £50. When his solicitor protested, the senior magistrate became very stern. "An example has to be made," he said. "This is the second case of this kind to come before the court today." Well, we've got a lot of tall tales like that for you in the course of the program, but from here on, I'm only going to be giving our team half the story, and they're going to have to work out in their own brilliant and inspired way the rest.
Mr. Frost, before we start into this intellectual game, can we, Frank and I, can we welcome back Dame Hilda? Dame Hilda, I see by the heavy chain around her neck, she's obviously escaped again. Dame Hilda, she just bought a new jewel box, you know, Blenheim Paris. What a beautiful day for squirting 3-in-1 over Dame Hilda's partner and saying, "How's this for a well-oiled hinge?"
Yes, well, I'd like to welcome her as well, Ken, because she's sporting the most beautiful tan.
Thank you for welcoming me so kindly to this committee meeting. And I am delighted to be one of your number, Francis Kenneth. May I call you Ken?
Please do.
Thank you, Ken.
Call me Carson. Don't be so formal.
It's lovely to be here with the boys.
Well, it's nice to see all the nice birds back in London. What a beautiful day for going down to Trafalgar Square, chucking a bucket of whitewash over the pigeons and saying, "There are, how do you like it?"
I did exactly that this morning.
Yes, but what's making me worried about that thing in Belfast, because it looks as if somebody's been getting it up for me. Because the first time I went to court in Belfast, the magistrate says, "Have you ever been up before me?" I said, "Well, what time do you get up at?"
When you were in court, Frank, I believe somebody said to you, "Do you know the jury's out?" She said, I didn't know it'd been on fire.
Well, the judge, he said to me, "You see, my young man, you're 17-year-old. I can remember it so well. Nowadays, I don't use makeup. I use ready mix." He said, "This is all starts off so easy. You see, you start off being a villain with one cigarette. That starts you off on the road to depredation. And then it's a loose woman.
Tighten her up a bit.
And then you just go down the hill from that." "Can you tell me where you get those cigarettes?"
Right, away we go then with the first tall tale. John Taylor of Cambridge felt that his memory was not as good as it used to be. So when browsing in a local bookshop, he came upon a thick blue volume called How to Improve Your Memory and decided on the spot to buy it for £9.95. Then, when he got home 2 hours later, he had a disagreeable surprise. What was it?
Ah, well, there's a memory's a wonderful thing. I reckon anybody who's bang at it, your memory goes first. Where are we? I've got a fantastic memory. I even look like the Elephant Man. Do you know that today's the anniversary. I know all these anniversaries. Today's the anniversary of Sir John Frobisher, who discovered the Northwest Passage when he found all the public conveniences in Manchester were closed for the night.
Yes, well, I was actually on a show. Memory of many of you will remember the memory man, and I was supposed to be on a show, and he forgot to turn up.
Today's the anniversary of Nostro, the world's famous memory man. Nostro, he ruined his career when he forgot himself in the chorus girl's dressing room.
My wife has a wonderful memory, and the one thing she remembers most of all about me is the wonderful fur coat. Beautiful fur coat I bought. I mean, she'd never seen me wearing one. And I also bought her a lovely leopard skin coat. It was second hand, of course, but it was spotless.
Yes, what do I think? Yes, where are we? What was the question? Oh, yes. Yeah. My memory's not so good these days. Yes, he left the book behind.
Good thought. Not correct,
not
but good
right.
thought.
Well, he hadn't got his change. There was 5p to come back.
I was in a bookshop the other day, and I saw this volume. It was about 5 inches thick. And on the cover, it said, "How to Improve Your Height. Stand on this book." And once, when I was in the Far East, I was visiting President Tootle of Thailand, and he told...
Very good!
He told me out there, the natives out there thought that the 39 steps was the sex manual. Now...
I'm glad you brought up the subject, because my wife said to me last night in bed, "I'm going to nibble your ear like I did 35 years ago." I said, "Well, by the time you find your teeth, I'll be asleep." Yes, I remember one time a little boy and I were together, and it's gone back so many years, and he said to me, "What age are you?" I said, "I don't know." He says, "Do women affect you?" I said, "No." He said, "You're 4.
A disagreeable surprise when he'd forgotten his mother-in-law was coming for a visit.
Not quite.
No, I know. He'd gone home to the wrong house. He was
what about the cannibal
who
ate something that didn't agree with
him? Couldn't be
true. Yeah. Or what about the cannibal that said to the cannibal, I don't like your wife. He said, "All right, push it to the side and eat your vegetables."
You know that if you pick up a book in a bookshop and it's cold and clammy and there's a fishy smell, it's probably a penguin.
Well, you're doing well with the books, but you haven't got the solution, which
he
is
thinks
this.
Oliver Twist, the dunce, is a new dunce.
No, Mr. Taylor unwrapped his newly purchased thick blue volume called How to Improve Your Memory and hurried to put it on his bookshelf. Right. There he found it standing next to a book he'd bought last year. A thick blue volume entitled How to Improve Your Memory.
Oh, my goodness.
Tall Tale number 2. Let's see if we can get this one. Following several unhappy incidents at U.S. airports, A Guide to America offers a special tip to tourists. They are warned to beware of strange men with bottles of ketchup or mustard. Why should this be?
Well, the obvious remark will be here.
Know what I mean, Harry?
Yes, well...
I am definitely not HP.
Yes, well, I always remember being on a plane, and I was flying into Rome. I went into the Vatican. And this great story came out of the Vatican where this fellow from McDonald's, and he asked John Paul II... if he could change it from "give us our daily bread" to "give us our daily McDonald's hamburger." And the Pope said, "No." He said, "We can give you $60 million, John Paul II. So the Pope waited, and he turned around to another cardinal and said, "How long is that contract to run with Sunblessed?" I've never been at an airport yet that's finished.
I flew to Dublin Airport last week.
Yeah,
I wanted to be reunited with my luggage. The only thing you want to watch, when you fly, never fly Virgin Airlines.
No.
They have to be in before it goes dark.
Yeah, so I wouldn't fly Virgin Airlines. How would you like to go with someone who's never gone the whole way?
Hi, Bonalog. What a beautiful day for emptying a steaming vindaloo curry over a Virgin Airline pilot and saying, "How's this for a Branson pickle?" Those disaster things they put on the film, telly, disaster movies, put me off. I'm terrified I'd find myself sitting next to a singing nun.
Yeah, that's dreadful. Yes, I always remember standing beside 20 nuns and all drinking pints of Guinness. And I said, "This is disgraceful in Rome. Nuns standing in a pub drinking Guinness." And the fellow says, "Tell them, We're all from the chorus of The Sound of Music.
Any children listening, they know that you should never speak to strange men. Yes. But I'll make an exception in your case, Frank.
Well, I remember saying, actually, you just reminded me of something when you said that strange men. I remember my son, who's 18, and I said, you've got a good job now, son. I said, but remember, you've got to work hard. When I was 12-year-old, I worked in a pub, which is true in Belfast. And when I was 30, I owned a pub. Mm. He said, Daddy, you couldn't do that now. They've got cash registers.
Dame Hilda, you know, Dame Hilda finds airports very enjoyable.
I do indeed, especially when they search.
The other day, she stood behind the engines of a 747 just as it was starting up. She got her legs shaved for nothing.
Well, the first time I met Dame Hilda, actually, believe it or not, was in a pub in London.
I've got a marvellous tip for tourists. You know, stay at home. There's nothing like 4 days at Heathrow or Gatwick.
Now, can you get to this one, Ken?
I think, no, frankly.
We've stumped the panel. What happened here was that the Americans' warning to tourists stemmed from an outbreak of thefts involving the use of condiments. Books had taken to...
Condiments.
Well, sorry. And to the audience, condiments of the season.
Crooks had taken to join tired tourists at their cafe tables and accidentally sipping ketchup or mustard on their clothes. Mm. The thief then apologizes profusely, and he and his cronies brush down the victim's clothes while simultaneously picking the pockets. Neat trick, right?
Brilliant. Yes. Absolutely brilliant. I can always remember a pickpocket who got married, and she married a pickpocket, and they went took the child to have it baptized. And the child couldn't open his hand. They brought it to the pediatrician. And he used a little bit of self-hypnosis on the child. And when the child opened his hand, in the hand was a midwife's ring.
But it's nice to know that this program... It's nice to know that this program does give out tips to...
Of course it does, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
To governors.
And to all sorts of people listening, if there is anybody listening. Here's a tip. Never try to change a light bulb with a hammer.
Right. Well, the other one, if you're changing one in Ireland, you need 13 people.
Why is that?
Well, one fellow to hold bulb and the other 12 to turn around in a circle to get it out.
I think we have to be very careful, Mr. Frost, on these programs. What you're saying, the sort of tips we're giving out, because I must tell you that we've had several letters from listeners. There's one here from Angry of Chipping Sodbury. There's Livid, one from Livid of Solihull. Disgusted from Dulwich, and frustrated from lack of it.
Well, talking of letters, it's time for our team to respond to our listeners' queries about life and to learn a little about the solutions to life's problems in our Agony Aunt section. This is a heart cry from a woman in Bedfordshire who writes, "When we were courting, I knew my fiancé was a keen gardener. He'd often bring me little gifts of carrots and radishes, or surprise me with a marrow. But since our marriage, gardening has become an obsession. He's out there all the time, potting something or spraying something. We never go anywhere or do anything together. Last year I had to go on holiday with a friend because Dennis was nursing his leeks for a show. How can I persuade him there's more to life than Brussels sprouts?"
My father, of course, had won the marrow-growing contest in Ireland for over 11 years. And one day, there was a very heavy frost, and there was 8 men who were in the same category, and he knew they had great marrows. There was a heavy frost come down, and he was looking out the window, and he saw the marrow being distended with frost. So he came down and lay beside the marrow, and he put his nightshirt over to keep the heat in.
So that's a beautiful thought.
Is that the end of the story?
No, they found him the next morning.
Yeah.
Frozen to the marrow.
Jane Hilda, what advice would you give to this poor lady in Bedfordshire who's married to Dennis?
Well, I think it's like I did with Evadne, who spends a lot of time in the garden, you know, that possibly his wife could, you know, act as scarecrow for his seeds and plants, you see.
Yes, indeed. Well,
somebody once said to Frank Carson, would you like an herbaceous border? He said, we're having no foreigners in our house. And the French, you see, they're very clever.
The French are dreadful.
Have you ever seen how the...
That's how you get the hole. That's how you get the hole in the donut. It was a fresh air thing.
The French. Have you seen them going around with strings of onions and garlics on their bicycle handlebars? It's to keep traffic wardens away.
Well, there was another friend of mine who worked in a bakery, and the Ministry of Food caught him on crimping the corners of the apple cakes with his false teeth to make that little thing. And then they said, how do you get the holes in the donuts?
Whenever you're in the BBC canteen, have you noticed, you never eat radishes.
No.
They don't like paying for repeats, you know.
So what should she do? What should she do, Ken?
I think gardeners are wonderful people because they provide natural, you know, this natural
habitat,
food.
A habitat.
Organic,
habitat.
Organic.
I mean, that's the word, organic.
What kind of food? What kind of soup?
What kind of soup? What kind of leeks grow to your organ?
What kind of soup can you make out of an incontinent chicken? Cocky leaky.
Right, well, our advice seems to be what, Dame Hilda, that he should
get another job.
Live a bit more dangerously, or what?
Well, I think he should spend a bit more time with his wife, you see, if we take this question seriously there.
I think Frank and his wife, they've gone in for this role reversal idea.
Yeah.
Role reversal, Frank. He'll do the dishes, he'll mop the floor, but he draws the line when it comes to kissing the milkman. Is that right?
Well, I can always remember that I've got a joint account, the wife and I, you know. I put the money in, she spends it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people like hanging plants, you know, but I think there must be a more humane way of getting rid of them.
Yeah.
Right, well... You have your advice there. It's not very helpful, but it may...
Well, you must stop being obsessed. That's the man is the man's obsessed.
I like stop it. Your husband being obsessed.
That's... Yes, I knew a man who was obsessed with keeping clean. He had a bath every 6 months, whether he needed it or not. And if cleanliness is next to godliness, why don't more people take a shower with the vicar?
Right, here's a heart cry now from a young woman living in southwest London.
Yeah.
My problem concerns sexual harassment. I expect you've read all the stories about bosses making passes at secretaries and typists and girls promised promotion if they're nice to the right man. Well, I can tell you that things in my office are quite awful. None of the bosses has ever made a single pass at me.
Oh, dear.
Is it my fault? Or is a fashion house just the wrong place for this sort of thing?
Good question.
Dame Hilda, what do you think?
I wonder if she's ever actually had a good look at herself in the mirror, you say, if she's having to write this sort of letter.
See, statistics prove that up to 30% of women complain of sexual harassment. The other 70% keep quiet and enjoy it. My idea of sexual harassment is Dolly Parton dancing with a midget.
Well, a young girl came to me the other day at British Rail in Houston and says to me, I've been kissed 4 times in this platform in the last 15 minutes. I said, when you go into platform 7, there's a train leaves every 2 minutes.
But it happens all the time. It happens in business, in sport, even in football. I mean, kissing the centre forward can often lead to promotion. Kissing the linesman can get you lift home.
Well, that's the other thing about it. Now, have you noticed, it's all these women who write in these dreadful things. You know, they say, tell a man something, it goes in one ear and out the other.
Well, that's
tell a woman something, it goes in both ears and comes out of her mouth.
It's all very well, this lady, this girl, talking about sexual harassment or harassment. It's men that have suffered through history.
Yes,
they have. Men through history suffered from sexual harassment. Hereward the Wake, whose wife was always nudging him in bed. Ethelred the Unready, whose wife always was. And Sir Isaac Pitman, who invented shorthand because his missus was always wanting him to take things down in a hurry.
Like I said to the wife, I've told you off every day this week. I said, what do you think about that? She said, I'm glad it's Friday.
There's several things this young lady could do, of course.
Yeah.
Several things you do. She could try going to work without the balaclava helmet on. Or she could leave the two top buttons of her army greatcoat undone.
Yeah. Well, they said that happened to me. I mean,
keep away from the VDUs.
What are they?
Very dull undies.
Well, that's funny. I went in the other day, and my wife said, "You don't notice anything different?" I said, "Of course I do." I said, "Those are brand new shoes." "No." I said, "Well, nice dress." She said, "No." I said, "New makeup?" She said, "Well, nearly." I said, "What is it?" She says, "I'm wearing a gas mask." And just like Dame Hilda, she had one of those bubble perms. It looked dreadful. Every one of them had burst.
Right. On now from the wisdom and back to the tall tales. This is another transatlantic story we have for you folks. For many musicians, transporting their instruments can be a problem. And in particular, instrument cases are hard to fit under airline seats. One member of a New York string quartet was incensed when an airline made him buy a separate ticket for his violin. What revenge did he take on the cabin crew? Dame Hilda.
Perhaps he had a call put out for them, you know, to alter their rosters, so they all had to work longer hours. They were all, you know, going to go up. Having flown quite a lot with Evadne, I mean, in a plane, of course, I've never tried it without. We've travelled, you know, many thousands of miles across the world, and we know what they can be like, these airline crews. It'll be very difficult. So, you know, and they make you move your luggage from underneath the seat. You can't stretch your legs out, you know.
Yes, indeed.
It's all right for Evadne, because she can take one of hers off. But, you know, I mean, it can be a problem. I think maybe he got his own back by having their roster changed, had to work longer hours.
A friend of mine once played with Ivy Benson's all-girls band, one at a time.
Yes, indeed. Well, I think what has happened is this violin turned out to be a bass fiddle, which was too big for the seat. So they said, "Well, right, there's no way we can store that in luggage. So if you're going to carry it with you, then you will have to pay for it as a passenger."
I don't know about this getting to revenge. You see, it's not a very nice thing to want revenge on people. And remember, love thy neighbour.
Yeah.
But make sure the curtains are drawn.
Yes, well, that's funny. My wife always said to me, "Why can't you be like the fella next door? Every morning he goes to work, he kisses his wife. Why don't you do that?" I said, "Well, I don't know her that well."
These airlines, they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, did you know that Israeli airlines have merged with the Italy's?
No.
Yes, it's called, the new airline's called Velatelia.
Well, I was on Israel Airlines one time, and it said, "We are now approaching Heathrow Airport in 600 yards, mm-hmm. but for you, 440.
Remember that famous player, the exponent of the that wonderful classical guitar player, Segovia?
Yeah,
Segovia.
Yeah.
He had a very unfortunate name, you know. Every time Segovia gave a concert, nobody wanted to sit on the front row.
Well, I'll tell you something that actually happened to the fellow who crashed in the jungle. He wakened up and there was a cannonball standing over him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "What happened?" He said, "You are Christ here. About 5 minutes ago, I pulled you from the burning wreckage." He says, "Well, where did you get the bandages?" "I have had the bandages in my bag and I was able to help you out." He said, "You speak perfect English." He said, "Yes, I'm self-taught English." He said, "Well, where did you learn it from?" He said, "BBC World Service."
That one told better.
That's not the way I tell them, isn't it?
I was travelling in Torremolinos, you know.
Yes.
Where, yes.
Torremolinos.
Oh, yes.
Abroad.
Yes. Oh, yeah, abroad. They used to have a saying, "If music be the food of love, let's have a nibble of your hacienda." It's an old saying out there, you know. When I was a little boy, we used to have musical evenings at home. All the family would gather around the piano and try and stop the bailiffs taking it away. I think this fellow probably, how did he get his own back?
By
playing the violin all through the trip.
That could be pretty ghastly, but no, this was the answer. Forced to buy this separate ticket for his violin, the musician strapped the fiddle case into the next seat, tied a napkin round its neck, and made the stewardess serve it dinner.
Well done. I love
well
that.
Done.
That's very good. Yeah.
And finally, a last bit from Britain. Back home in Britain, after all this transatlantic stuff, an ancient custom in High Wycombe Bucks decreed that from time to time, all town councillors should be weighed in public. What was the purpose of this? Dame Hilda?
Had they perhaps been eating, you know, too much of the... No, eating, like, the fat of the land, living off the fat of the land, eating too many things supplied by the council? You know, living off the food that was supplied?
Well, I think we've got to say that Dame Hilda's got it there in one, because this is the answer. The purpose of weighing town councillors was to see whether they had gained weight during their years in office. Those who had were accused of growing fat at the public's expense. Dame Hilda
thank
got
you.
It.
Oh, that
was marvelous. I think we can be very proud, of some of our ancient monuments. And
don't look at me.
No, I'm sorry. All the wonderful traditions we have in this country.
What about our councillor? He's never worked in his life. Last job he had was a school prefect.
Question is, I mean, here we are in 1990 and they still have council chambers. Why can't they put proper facilities in for these men?
That's right.
Down through history, with all these wonderful traditions, the Normans, they'd spend hours standing in the village square shouting out, Mr. Grimm's dial! It's me, Norman! I thought Norman Wisdom would love that. The ancient druids believed that if you rub two sticks together, you could produce water. They were crackers.
But they do a good job, town councillors. I remember our town councillor in Belfast, and he came from one area which was quite, rather antagonistic towards another area. You know what it's like in Northern Ireland.
Really? I never knew that.
Yes, he'd spent £700 on a bulletproof vest and got shot up the ass. Like, in fact, somebody threw a petrol bomb at him and he drank it. He was in the AAAA. You remember that. What did they do?
That's for people who enjoy being driven to drink.
And I'm afraid there, on that happy note, we have to bring these proceedings to a close. We've run out of time. So if you're wondering why there's a camel on the town hall roof, or why your milkman wears plus fours, let us know and we'll try and work it out right here. For now, this is David Frost thanking you for joining us. On behalf of Ken Don, Frank Carson, and Dame Hilda Brackett, Andrew Palmer and Nell Brennan, who devised and researched, and our beloved producer, Edward Taylor. We hope you'll be with us again next time. It's time to pull the other one. We'll be right back.